Someone needs to tell that to Jeff. My name is J.D. Glosser, and this is my colleague Mike Morton, and we work for a little software company called ntobjectives.com. And this morning we just want to tell you about some new tools that we made, and we've kind of collectively called it Fire and Water. And this is really just our idea at building some tools to help solve some of the new web problems that we see out there. I have a hard time reading these screens because they're a little far back. So basically what I'll do this morning is give a brief overview of web architecture, a very brief overview of some of the web hack attacks, and then I'll get into our solution and then introduce the toolkit and explain what it does. So if you've seen one of my talks before, you've seen this slide. And it describes in pretty good detail typical web architecture and all the different components involved. For instance, you see the web client. You have a firewall. We've shown in previous examples before hacking through through port 80. And one of the powers of that is that, you know, all you need is one hole open in your firewall to get to the web server. And sitting behind that, you have several web apps and behind that, your enterprise database servers. In the boxes, you can see all the different types of things that can be attacked. You have, you know, all the different types of web servers. You have all the different types of CGI modules that can be attacked. You have all the different types of database services that can be attacked. The firewall itself can be attacked. And you look at all those things together, and that's quite a bit of effort to protect all that stuff. And this is really one of the premises of what we do, or the reason for web hacking, is our idea of the URL as a cruise missile. The interesting thing about a URL is that that one statement is so powerful by virtue of the fact that each category of that URL can attack different aspects of your web architecture. One URL contains the ability to attack your CGI applications, your database, your web server, and essentially, you know, your firewall, like all in one shot. And defending against that is very difficult. You have to have a layer of defense for every single one of those target areas. The current top web issues as I see them are, one is source code disclosure. Everyone's pretty familiar with, you know, different exploits, and it's not very hard to find for getting, you know, for exploiting each one of these areas. So source code disclosure, getting a web server to trick you into revealing source code, which could have passwords hidden in there, or SQL Server DNS names. Also directory browsing, which is almost better than brute forcing. Brute forcing against a web server is pretty much kind of an obsolete way to get into a web server. There's much quicker and faster ways to get into it. One would be like guessing directories, looking for backup archive files there, browsing through those, using those to get into the web server. File upload attacks, you know, basically using form-based uploads to upload your own tools, tricking a file server then into executing your own code. Backup archive issues, looking for being able to browse through a web server, find those files, pick those out. And then I highlighted in red the top three, you know, of course, web server vulnerabilities, getting remote command execution, and then the new big one, you know, SQL injection attacks. And all of these things up there, you know, we've been talking about for a while, and, you know, yesterday we went over all this stuff in great detail, so now what are we going to do about it? So some of the things that I feel are fundamentally important just from my own personal perspective are, you know, the importance of web applications and their growth. You know, XML is huge. It's, Microsoft's new initiative with .NET just really pushing everything towards web-based applications. You know, businesses are just becoming empowered by that more and more. You know, you're seeing less and less traditional applications and more web applications, and they're all joined by the web, and they all communicate via the web. And because of that, the amount of protections you layer over all the top of that and paying attention to all of that and realizing that a weak point in any one of that, you know, can unfold your entire architecture. It's just going to require everyone to have a lot of attention focused on all areas of that. So because of that, we've released a new toolkit, and it has a specific web focus to the detriment of other security areas. I mean, there's lots of different things to check for, and, you know, security tools today need to check for a lot of things. But we've really just taken a web focus and, for the moment, not worried about a lot of the other issues out there. Until you solve a lot of your fundamental web issues, some of the other security issues just aren't even going to matter. You have to kind of lock those down first. So FireandWater is just really our attempt to take web assessment to the next level. This toolkit is specifically targeted for, you know, web assessment professionals. If anyone out here who does assessment for a living, or, you know, as an admin who spends a good deal of your time trying to assess your company's web situation or your network situation, this toolkit is really for you. Because of that, it does require, you know, a bit more, it's not easy to use, I'll put it that way, but because of that, it has a lot more power, so as we'll show you. One more thing about the final point here. I really do fundamentally believe that if we're going to solve a lot of these problems out there, you know, web assessment professionals or security assessment professionals are going to have to provide more skills to their abilities. For example, a lot of assessment people out there, you know, you do an assessment and then you kind of say, here's your problems, and then you run. And that's not very helpful. We all need to grow and basically add, you know, web architecture, web defense, or network applications to our ability so that when you're out there helping your clients, you can give them more than, here's your problems, and then run away. So one of the things we want to do is give tools that enable you to have, you know, defenses, have things that you can offer your clients, and if you learn to use them, you can help them with their problems and not just say, hey, you have problems. This is kind of off the side. All right. There are a lot of good tools out there. You know, several people have taken the time to make some really cool tools that find some very cool vulnerabilities. But if you're trying to do a complete assessment of a network, they don't work together. So if you're doing an assessment, you have to give a report to your client. You have to take the output of all those data, some spit out data in text, some spit out data in graphical format. All that stuff together, you have to hand pick through all that stuff and then compile your own report and somehow have that make sense to your clients. And that's very difficult to do. If you're doing like one or two servers, it's not too bad. Let's say you're doing like, you know, two or three class Cs, and let's say you run six or seven tools to get all the data you need, then you have to compile all that stuff. And that's just a lot of effort. So one of the things you want to do is try to, you know, put things together so that you've got a cleaner report when you're done to be able to hand to your clients. You know, on the final point, you know, clarity of the data. If you run tools and then say, here's your problems, you know, there you go, that doesn't do people much good. So you don't just need to have a report of the problems. You need to have it in such a format that the person that you're giving it to has an understanding of what it all means and can find the data easy. You know, just comparing the difference between, you know, what the boss of a company understands versus what you guys as technical admins understand. And that's kind of one thing that we want to do. So the FIRE part is the set of our toolkits is just really aimed at assessment professionals. We really concentrate on two things. One is to be able to allow it to have scripting capability so that it just has more power, and also give it the ability for remote usage. A lot of the work we do really does center around remote command usage. For example, it's one thing to do an assessment of a network from, you know, the outside, kind of get a look at what the perimeter looks like. But then, you know, once you find some vulnerabilities, a lot of clients want to know, okay, how far can you get? So if you're trying to do an assessment then of what are the internal paths into a network, like, okay, a typical question is, can you reach my internal database servers from the outside? If you need to know that, just doing a perimeter scan isn't going to give you that information. So once you pop a box, you're going to need some tools to help you figure out if that path exists. And that's one of the things we're trying to provide. So this is it. This is the toolkit. And what that is a bunch of tools that all pipe together to give you a result. And the coolness of what this is if you're trying to do a remote assessment of a network, and let's say you pop the first box and you're trying to scan the perimeter, then figure out your internal paths, you can enter this all on a command line and have your results. If you're trying to do a perimeter scan of one or two hosts from the outside, that's not too cool. But if you're trying to do a huge network and map the internals, and you're trying to type something simple at the command line, there you go. So what this is it's NTO Scan, which is a TCP UDP scanner. And it will do a couple things. It will grab some banners. One of the things it currently doesn't do is it currently doesn't do OS ident. It also doesn't do SYN scanning. I have a good quote from a friend that asked him if he wanted me to put SYN scanning in it. And he said, no, SYN scanning is for weenies. I'm coming. I don't care if they know. So NTO route is a tool that will do a trace route to the host and help us make a map information. NTO web is our web vulnerability crawling tool. Then we have NTO map, which is a network topology generator. And then we have a trending tool, which basically helps make a picture of how your client's perimeter is changing over time. So now that you kind of have an overview of what the tools do, if we go back and take a look at this, what we have is these modules, and each one of these generates its own information and then feeds it into the next module. And then once they've gone through the chain, then you'll end up having a report. And we'll give you an example of that shortly. Okay, so our new architecture is probably the biggest thing about it is it's really a framework. It's not complete yet, and it does lack a lot of features that will be coming. But it's the basic framework of where we want to go and how we want to build features into it, and it's a complete XML data architecture. All of the tools will eat XML input, and they'll dump XML output. And then we've built it so you can just pipe all the tools together in whichever manner that you choose. We really do believe that the reports are the solution. You know, it's not so much, like the tool. It's what comes out of the tool that should really matter to you. So we've really focused on that. And again, we've really targeted web priority to the exclusion and detriment of other security issues that need checking. One of the things we've tried to design the tools to do is specifically highlight, your web trouble spots. So if you're using the toolkit, you can run the tools and then just instantly know, okay, here's my web trouble issues. Once you deal with those, then you can probably go ahead and start dealing with some of the other issues on your network. But we really feel you have to solve those first. So we've really tried to highlight those. We also really feel that it's just important to be able to get a quick view of, is your security posture increasing or is it decreasing? And so trending is very important. So we've given you a tool to be able to, run several scans over time and, see, are things going up and down? We specifically chose a command line toolkit. There's no GUI in the toolkit. All of the tools are command line tools. And we chose this for two reasons. One is it allows scripting. And as you'll see in the defense toolkit, this is very important because if you have a lot of servers to deal with, scripting is very important, and we feel you can get more power out of it than you can with typical GUI tools. Also, if you're an assessment professional, you know how important remote usage is, so we've made the tool so that you really have a lot of power from the remote side of things. Again, we're just very focused on web data. So these were the things that were important to us. One, we needed, you know, once we run all these tools, once you have a large collection of results, making them sortable, making your reports appendable, being able to do query analysis on these tools were very important. And, you know, if some of the current tools out there have a shortcoming, it's just that, you know, you're not able to sort through those results later. And, again, it's not too bad if you have one or two servers, but if you have a lot of servers, that's a big issue. So these are the things that we were trying to achieve. If we go to a network, a large network, and do an analysis on it, these are the type of things that are very important to us. So we try to make a toolkit that will help you be able to make sense of all this information as well. Okay, so here's a screenshot of the scanner. And, you know, this is very typically, probably most of you have seen command line scanners before. And here's the results of it. We're just going to ping or scan one port on one host. And there's the output of it. It's just a textual output. Now, the interesting thing about this slide is that it highlights one of the things that the tool is aware of. The tool is actually aware if it's being piped or not. So if you just run the tool, you get a text output. If you pipe the tool, you get an XML output. There's also a switch to force XML output if you want. But the difference between these two slides, if you look at the top command line parameter, you know, you see it was piped into more. So once the tool detected that, it took all its results and converted it into XML. Yes. Dash capital X will. His question was, do I have a switch that will force XML output? And yes, we do. So, what's that?
XML.
Oh, no, we don't. Sorry. Put that on the list. I do take tool requests, so send them on up. That's a good point. Now get out of here. Okay, so here we're showing it getting piped into our next tool, which is NTL route. And as you can see, it just dumped out a trace route to this host. And then here's, I didn't show the top, but the command line would have said, you know, pipe NTL route, pipe more. So then we could just see that the trace route information got dumped into XML. Yeah, down there on the bottom you can see it. So on this shot we're actually taking it a step further again and piping it into the map tool, and then you can just see, you know, that's what it looked like, generated the results. And then voila, it will generate a map for you. So I know you're all incredibly impressed by this little galaxy picture here. And at this point, I will introduce to you Mike Morton, who did the programming to make these cool maps, and he will show you, he's going to pop up some larger maps and explain how we came to those, and hopefully you'll be much more impressed by those.
Good morning. The mapping tool, like all the other tools, is designed to show you your web environment. So let's just get a basic example.
There's the map.
All
right.
Thank you. In addition, I'll also show you the flexibility of input options to the tools. This is just standard file spec here. So here's a map. Now this is canned data that I generated for the sake of testing the algorithm, but this particular map shows you all the various features of the map. The yellow orbs here are web servers that were found in your network, and the non-yellow ones are not web servers. These are all, when you do a traceroute, you wind up with a big list of routers ending in your in the host in question, and the you're not really interested in all the routers preceding the last one, so we just represent the last one. You are, however, interested in what the how many web servers you have hanging off of a single router. So this depicts that. These IPs here are the IP of the router. In the final version, we will have a, when you mouse over here, you get a pop-up that shows all the IPs of the machines that are connected to that router. Now, these two things here are special cases, and the fact that they have one machine orbiting them, they could have more than one machine orbiting them, so don't think that they always have to have one machine orbiting them.
I can't see the mouse, I have to say the red one.
Oh, pardon me. The mouse does not show up. No, it's there. At any rate, when you get a traceroute and there's unknown data in it, that generally means a firewall, so we represent that with a orange orb as opposed to a green one, meaning just a standard router. And then the other special case is you might do a scan on your internal LAN, and the machine from which you conduct the scan may be on the internal LAN as well, so there may be actually no hops between you and the target machines. When that happens, we represent it in this fashion. We just have sort of a special case, the non-router, so to speak, and hang all the machines that are directly connected to the scanner off that. You can also run the tool on several files at once. Do this. And you can string together other things as well, so there is no file called blah.xml, but I'm just doing that to show you what it looks like. So now it's going through all those files. Each one of these XML files may have one or more scans in it, and then it presents you with the maps for each one of those scans. This here being the scan and when it was completed. And this is the one we've just been looking at, so here's a variety of others. When the when your network gets larger, so does the map, obviously, and it continually puts more and more machines in orbit around the scanner. Another thing here is that all of the connections, due to the fact that this is canned data, they all happen to be connected to the scanner, but it is possible for routers to be connected to other routers. And the final version of the product will represent that. So here's an even larger network. Now perhaps here's another example of I just piped type into the mapping tool, and it figured that out and went ahead and generated the map again, just to convince you since we've been looking at that one all along. Okay. So that does it for maps. The next thing I'll be talking about is the trending tool. And I'll pop that. I'll go ahead and run it so we have a visual here. You'd run this thing when you have a whole bunch of scans and you want to see what the what your network looks like from one point to another. Get that running. So here's the output of this. You get each one of these things, how many hosts you have, how many services you have, how many web services you have, and as JD said, we're currently not detecting operating systems, but we will be in the future, so that's represented here. For each one of these things, you get the average and a standard deviation, and then, of course, the graph itself. And the point of this is there's a couple of points on scanning that are relevant to this. One is that between one scan and another, you may not find exactly the same data. If your network is not changing, ideally you do want to find the same exact data. So the first thing that you want to be doing with the scanner is optimizing the parameters with which you conduct your scan, parameters being things like timeout, whether or not IPs are randomized, and whether you do pinging or not, and so forth. There exists some, at first unknown, optimal set of parameters which will give you the best representation of your network, and you want to find out what that is. So for a while, what you would likely be doing is running the scanner, get a bunch of sample XML files representing your network, and then run this tool on them. And what you're pursuing is a flat line in each one of these categories. That would mean that you found the same thing every time. Or, put that another way, you're looking to minimize the standard deviation. You want zero standard deviation if your network is not changing. Now, when you do scans, a machine may be more heavily, happen to be more heavily loaded one time than another, so it doesn't respond in quite the timeout that you have set for your scanning, et cetera, any number of other parameters conspire to confound your the accuracy of your results. So this tool will help you seek and find the optimum scanning parameters. Then once you've done that, if you think that your network is not going to change with regard to what machines are in it, you can get an output which is representative of what you believe to be a very accurate representation of your network, and then supply that as input to the scanning tool. And when you do a scan, you're scanning mostly empty space, but you have to scan it because there might be a machine there. But that's going to take time. So once you've convinced yourself that you've got the scanning parameters optimal, you can supply that scan as input to the scanner, and it will scan only those IPs. And, of course, from time to time, it's smart to do a full rescan just to assure yourself that your network is indeed the same and that you're finding everything. But once you've moved into that phase where you're convinced that you're using good parameters for your network, then what this tool does for you is shows you what's changing in your network. So if you're looking to secure your network by having as little unnecessary services as possible, you can use these graphs to see whether you're achieving your goal. And again, run a few variations of this thing. Note that it doesn't make sense to compare one thing to itself. The tool will tell you that. They're generated as PNGs, dynamically generated. So here's an example. Now, in fact, these scans, even though you're seeing flat lines here, they're rather dissimilar. And that's a point. You can scan two entirely different IP spaces and run the tool on them if you like, but then you're getting data that's not too terribly useful because you're scanning two totally different IP spaces.
All right, this is basically what you're going to see this is basically a report of the results from our web tool and some things we got coming once we find web vuln data. And you see down here the combination of our traceroute results. And the next thing that we'll do is make a connection between like this report and the topology map, so you can help coordinate like the host details and the actual map that you see. And one of the things we're trying to do is just make a better effort at cleaning up and coordinating your scan test results into something that's, you know, much more presentable to your clients. Okay, last couple minutes we have, I'll talk about the water part. And the first basically water is our what will be the combination of our web defense tools, the first one of these being NTO Wire. And what NTO Wire is a command line driven ISAPI filter. If anyone's familiar with Secure IIS, this is a very, very similar tool. However, because it doesn't have a GUI and it's a command line tool, you can script the thing. So if you're doing an assessment for a client, let's say you're, you know, on Saturday night or something, and you find, you know, 20 of his servers are vulnerable, you can use this tool to emergency patch them. If you have his permission to, you know, to do so, you can get him going over the weekend. The difference between, like, using this tool and actually applying a hot fix is this is usually a much safer bet because it's very easily removable, and you know, people are very nervous about, you know, directly applying hot fixes without, or service updates without testing them to the extreme. So that testing period doesn't always, you know, worms travel so fast, you can't always take the time to do an adequate hot fix test and not have some kind of patch. So this really gives you a lot of power in terms of helping your clients be safe until such time that they have, say, okay, you know, we've tested these hot fixes, now we're going to put these on our production boxes. And the exciting thing to me about this is, you know, if you're working with your clients, you can say, okay, now I can help you. I'm not just going to run a scanner, say, hey, you're hosed for the next 2 or 3 weeks until you decide to patch this stuff. You can actually emergency patch his boxes until such time. So the other cool thing is that this tool is updatable via snort signature. So if you take the latest snort signature file and run it into the tool, it basically reads the IIS section and extracts some of those signatures out and puts it in there so you can kind of stay updated with the latest IIS vulnerabilities. This currently is just an IIS tool. So for the moment, you know, people running Unix servers are about a bit out of luck, but we are working on that. And this is how it works. Just four simple command line options. You just install it. The install switch, load switch, unload switch, uninstall switch. If you put a new snort file in there, it will automatically just read it and incorporate it into the scan. Go ahead. Can you say that again, please? Okay, for the moment, we're just an NT shop, and all of our tools have a specific, you know, Microsoft focus. Some of the, for the assessment tools, that will probably always remain the same. However, for the defense tools, we do want to create some specific Unix filters so you can do the same type of thing. No. It's not an open source tool. This is a config file, and this is something that you guys can edit yourselves, make your own custom patches to. For example, you know, in the URL section, you can edit your changes here. Here is a list of, you know, all the different things, that the inputs that the filter will check for. You can edit this list to your heart's content. It will also allow you to, you know, create your own. One of the things the tool does is once you install the filter and it detects a certain error that it's looking for or a certain type of attack, then it will return a custom error page. And you can actually edit that page yourself. So if you want to put your own info in there, you can. You can feel free to edit the page. So that's really pretty much it for us. We're just getting started. We got a lot of new tools on the way. And, you know, send us an email. Send us some requests of different features that you'd like to see. And we try to put them in the tools. The toolkit is free. And we plan to maintain it as a free toolkit. And we plan to do updates. And it's just our commitment to the community to try to deal with some of these problems.
Whether have any inference engine algorithm behind that, or is this really aggregation, sorting, and plotting? Is the inference engine still setting a problem at the end of the goal?
I'll let Mike answer that.
So the question was, how do we discern whether something is a web server or not? Is that the question?
No, not at all. We've been talking about a tool that's doing threads in periods of time.
Yes.
Are you simply plotting what you collect and see and say threads? Are you inferring future actions?
We don't extrapolate, but you do bring up a couple of good questions that I didn't address, which is the trending tool, the purpose of that tool is to show you services and then web services and let's pop up the tool again.
It just deals with the data that it found. So as you build scans, you know, we'll look through the scans you've collected over a period of time. So if you're running scans over a week, it's just going to show you the trends of the results that it currently has. So we're not – does that answer your question?
I'll get the tool up and then we'll – okay, so what we have here is it sorts the scans by it, let's actually look at the command line output here. You can see here that it's taken the file spec and it's gone to each one of these things and told you how many scans it found in that thing. There just happened to be one scan in all of these. Once it has all of the scans, oh, there's another point as well. If you type in a file spec that happens to have redundancy in it, for instance, I could type star.xml and then router16.xml. It'll figure that out, and it'll only load the thing once so that it's not showing you redundant data in the trend. So for each one of these things, it found one scan. Actually, it found two scans and a couple of them. And it then sorts the scans by the completion dates and then represents them here in the map as such. So if we were to extrapolate, this is cubic spline, incidentally, for those of you who are interested in how that works. But what we would do if we were going to extrapolate is simply kind of, you know, perhaps spline spline extrapolate this into the future, but that's sort of a specious thing to do because your network can change rather randomly, so we don't presume to know what your network's going to do in the future. We just show you what it's been doing.
Yeah, the question was, is our web tool going to check for some of the things I had listed in my current web attacks? And yes, it is. The web tool at the moment checks for basically two IIS vulns, so it's very weak at the moment. And we will have, you know, hopefully in the next, you know, 6 or 7 weeks, we'll have much more thorough checking. So you'll see the ability for it to check for those things very shortly. Any other questions? That's a good question. The question was, can you pipe other tools in there? Not yet, but that's something that we're working on. And one of the things I'm hoping, I was just talking to Simple Nomad yesterday, and it would be very cool if some other people pick up on this and start doing it as well. And then, yeah, it would be nice to have some, you know, cross-tool capabilities. The question was, he didn't understand how we were patching stuff without patching. Would that be your question? All right. If you apply a surface pack or a hotfix, and like, you know, let's say IIS has a vulnerability, you know, the typical way to fix it is you go to Microsoft, download a hotfix, download a service pack, and then apply it. So that's a, you know, binary patch, and you have to reboot the machine, and you have to make sure that hotfix doesn't break your production environment. The difference is what NTOWire is it's an ISAPI filter that's dynamic, so it will just load up into the server and, without taking down the machine or anything, or without even altering your web services, it just inserts itself in the middle and then starts dynamically looking at your content and filtering stuff out. So, and it's a very fast way to close off an attack. If you, let's say you're in a box, you find it vulnerable, and even if it's currently being attacked by a worm or something, if it's already been hacked, it's not going to fix it, but it could prevent it from being hacked again. So you can actually use, if you're an assessment professional, you probably don't have the password to get into the box, but you can use the vulnerability to get into the box. So you just upload the files. You can run the files remotely via the command line. It will insert itself, activate itself, start filtering out the vulns, and basically for the moment, you're safe. So you can help, you know, cut off that stuff.
You have a question?
Go ahead. The question is, how do we deal with web server farms and load balancers? That does require a couple detection techniques that we don't currently possess, so that's something that we'll continue to work on. Port redirection is another one, and detecting OS is based on that. So that's some stuff that's coming. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much for coming.